any warm summer day, a little bit of a break from the warm and, well, excessive warm, I would call it, that we've been experiencing. I have a number of announcements this morning. First off, the choir practices will begin this week on the 9th. Check your bulletin for the times. Some of the schedule has changed a little bit, so if you're not already a choir member or haven't been in the past, you're welcome to come and join in. Doesn't take much. All you gotta do is sit there and sing. It's pretty easy. Next Sunday is going to be the Christian Education Appreciation Sunday, so we will have one combined service here at 10:30, so that we'll be able to use the time at 8:15 for Christian Ed to serve an appreciation breakfast for all of the teachers for Sunday school. So please remember, next week is, if you're going to come to 8:15 next Sunday, it's not going to be a service, it's going to be the breakfast. There will be no worship service at 8:15 next week. Also next week is the Kobe's Walk. There are many, many youth that are participating, and there are some of us who used to be youth and are participating, so look around for folks. I'm not sure who all, but there are many people that you could sponsor. Look around for folks that you can sponsor and give money to, and to give the money to Kobe's. We are going to be missing a participant that's been helping with Kobe's for many years, Carl Myers. Many of you may know Carl has passed away yesterday morning at shortly after 6. He was with the family down in Rehoboth and enjoying a time together, and he suffered an aneurysm in the brain, and they brought him home from Rehoboth, well, home to the hospital, Jefferson Hospital in Philadelphia, where he passed away yesterday. So remember the family in your prayers. It's hard. We all know we've all experienced loss. It's a hard thing. In addition to that, Mark, Carl's son, Mark, has been experiencing a detached retina, I think for about a week, and he's been told he needs to lay face down, keep his face down, in order to let that retina kind of reattach. So he's been dealing with that, and I understand it's going well, but he still has to. He's not done yet. He needs more time. Bud, I think you have an announcement. Sure.
You have me, Jane? Okay. In the end of the month in September, right, Disaster Relief Option was asking for help. And as everybody who knows has been going to the men's ministry, we were looking at some outreaches. Within the next week or so, next Sunday, there will be a sign-up sheet. They're looking for people to help out at the end of the, on Saturday evening, for sure, for cleaning up from 5 to 5:30. But they're also looking for help all Friday and Saturday. So there'll be a sign up sheet outside. If you can help for an hour, doesn't have to be a man either, it could be anybody. If you can help for an hour, that'll be great. They'll be able to put you to find something for you to do. So, like I said, there'll be another announcement next week, and there will be a sign up sheet. All right, thank you.
Are there any other announcements that anyone is aware of? Richard France made an announcement during the Sunday school hour that there will be a Faithful Men dinner concert on October 31st, and tickets will be available. They're not ready yet, but just see any of the Faithful Men or their associated women, and you should be able to pick up some tickets. It is for a donation, the money will be going towards the Nigeria Relief Fund. So be generous. I think there will be a time for an offering as well at the concert, so you can just get your tickets and show up and enjoy. I believe that's it for announcements. Let's join together, open your hymnals. It's page 659 for the call to worship, number 659. And I will begin with the leader part. Please join in as people and all. Grace unto you and peace from God, who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, ruler above all rulers of the earth. In love, Jesus Christ suffered death to free us from our sins, making all who confess Christ a nation of priests set aside for God's service. To Jesus Christ be glory and power forever and ever. Turn to hymn number 151.
I invite you to rise to your feet for our hymn.
We've come to the time of sharing of joys and concerns, and Bob is coming with the microphone. I do have a number of joys and concerns from the early service. Richard France mentioned a young child, Gracelyn Snyder, who is 4 months old, and I believe it was at Hershey Medical Center, where she's receiving leukemia treatments 2 times a day. And her prayers would be greatly prayers for her would be greatly appreciated. Sarah Kolb mentioned her father, Tom Ely, is going for surgery for his hearing, for his ears, and I believe that's in Hershey also. Oh, Pittsburgh, thank you. Somewhere out west. It'll be Pittsburgh, yes. Glenn, do you want to make your yours? Marcus, he's coming up from the back. While he's coming, Joyce Luckenbill is in the Reading Hospital, again for her cancer has returned, so prayers for her would be appreciated as well.
This was one of the serendipitous moments. This morning I'm getting ready for the annual conference report, and I threw a slide up, and as I'm looking at it, I'm realizing that it's exemplifying something that we all have been sharing. I found another slide that probably hits a little bit harder. The gentleman that's holding the Wall of Healing sign in front of you is Marcus Gamachi. If you were at the annual conference report earlier, you probably heard an interview done with Marcus. He actually is involved as part of his relationship over there with the housing project that was also mentioned in the annual report conference, annual conference report. I can talk. Any rate, I think the thing that I was saying this morning was that Marcus is also bearing witness in another way that I would suspect puts him in direct bodily danger. He is in the process. You see him standing here holding a list. There was, 10, 12 of these put throughout the conference hall during annual conference, listing the people who had been killed by Boko Haram. Just to put a personal relationship, when they talk to each other, they will talk in reference to, this is John Wise, his daughter and his wife were killed. That is how they communicate with each other. And just to push out the idea that this is so widespread, that they're all being impacted by it. Marcus is involved in reaching out to members of the Boko Haram that are trying to escape. The Boko Haram gives them something like $250,000, a gun, and says, go create mayhem. If they don't follow that process, they will probably be killed. And I would imagine Marcus, in the process of letting them stay in his brother-in-law's house, is probably putting himself at extreme risk. And so, you know, one of the things that Pam and I have been able to relate to, and if you've seen Donna Purcell, who's from the A&E district, being over there, these are people that we know, just like you're sitting in here and we're listening and relating to each other. It's something that should not be lost, is that personal contact. And when I saw this report this morning on Facebook, it just struck me that, you know, one more way. Marcus and I go back to 2010, probably met at a regular annual conference in NYC. When I see him, your heart, you just want to be able to embrace them and be able to protect them. So do that with prayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. Bob, I think we're ready for you to come down through. I know there were a lot of joys and concerns mentioned, but don't hold back. Let's have them.
For those of you who are not on the prayer chain or on the grapevine, Curtis was released on Wednesday morning. I didn't mean to be secretive about the release date, but he actually would not find out until 6:30 of the morning of the day he was being released. I tried calling the day before to call and confirm that he was going to be released, and even the people in charge of the work release center do not know until the paperwork comes over at 6:30 in the morning. So he found out at 6:30 when they woke him up, and at 20 minutes to 7, I got the phone call. And in the meantime, he had to do the laundry. So he is home. You can reach him at the address in the book, and you can call or text him. His cell phone number remains the same. I thank this congregation for all the prayer and the support they've given us, and I would ask that it continue as Curtis goes forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
Yes, my coworker Marlon Zimmerman, his wife had cancer about 2 years ago, and it has returned. And this week they're heading to Nevada, so they need both traveling mercy prayers, and once they find out her condition exactly there, they'll be there for 3 weeks. So prayers for Marlon and Bonnie Zimmerman.
Can you repeat the names again, Bob, for me?
Marlon and Bonnie Zimmerman.
Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning so thankful for the many blessings that you pour out on us each day. Thank you for giving us bodies to glorify you and hands to serve you and hearts to love you. And Lord, we pray that our worship of you this morning, that our time with you would be pleasing to you. And Lord, we thank you for being with us in this time of loss with the passing of our dear brother Carl. And we lift up Gene and the rest of the family to you and pray that you would hold them close and comfort them. We just pray that you will be with us as a congregation as we move forward, and we'll be missing Carl as well. Help us to see ways that we can support each other and build each other up in this time. And Lord, we praise you for the joy of having Curtis at home again, and to have been with him through this time that he's been in prison. And Lord, we pray for the many people who are in need of your touch for physical healing, for Marlon and Dottie Zimmerman, for Tom Ely, for Joyce Luckenbill, for Gracelyn. And Lord, we lift up to you Marcus and the many, many brothers and sisters of ours in Nigeria who have been experiencing something that we can't imagine. We just pray that you would be with Marcus in this time, particularly as he's providing a hiding place and protection for some of the people who are trying to leave Boko Haram. And Lord, we pray that you would speak into their hearts and change their hatred into love. Lord, we know that you are a loving God who cares for our every need, and we place our needs before you, and we anticipate your response. And Lord, we know that you who created us will sustain us, and we rest in that knowledge. And Lord, congregation, please join me as we pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. It's a time for our tithes and offerings. And as our offertory thought, I do a lot of listening to public radio or to Christian radio, and there's a show that I love to listen to called Money Wise. And I heard this week again of how there's no way that we can be more generous than God. When we talk about a tithe, it's to be a tenth of our income, of our proceeds, of what God has given us, and giving offerings above and beyond. And God is encouraging us to give. And when we give, we're blessing God with what He has already given us, with what is His that He has shared with us. And in that spirit, we bring our tithes and our offerings to the Lord in an outpouring from what God has already blessed us with. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You for the wonderful ways that You bless us so much, for the gifts that You give both monetarily and of skills and talents. And we pray that You would encourage us as we share from the gifts and talents that You bring, give to us, that we could bring gifts back to You with those gifts, talents, and money. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do we have any kids here today that aren't on vacation? I think this is a big thing. I think we have kids that are on vacation. Come on up for a story. Hi. You're on vacation visiting your grandmama and grandpa, huh? Well, I'm glad you're here today. I want to tell you a little story about something called grace. Do you know what grace is? Have you ever heard that? Have you heard that? Yeah? Do you know what it means? Yeah. Sometimes it can be used as a name. Did you ever know anybody named Grace?
No.
Maybe a little girl's name? Or, graceful means very suave and very, really nice and form, you don't trip. My brother used to call me Grace. That's when I fell or something, before I got the humor of he was making fun of me. Anyway, I have a story today to tell you about grace. There was a little boy, probably about your age, maybe a little older, and he was on a t-ball team. Do you play t-ball? Well, it's a thing that stands, and you put a ball on it, and you swing. It's yeah, instead of having someone throw it to you, you swing off the bat. Anyway, there was this little boy who wasn't so good at t-ball. How about we call him Bud? So, Bud was not too good at t-ball, so he had a big game the next day, and he wanted to practice because he was tired of getting out there and swinging and not hitting the ball. So his dad said, I'm sorry, Bud, not today. I have to work on the floor of the garage, and we have to pull the car out, and their yard wasn't big, so the car was in the way. So he said, not today. So the dad went to fix the floor, and the mom was making dinner, and guess what?
What?
Bud wanted to do what Bud wanted to do. Do you ever get that way? Oh, you do. Graham wants to do what Graham wants to do. So anyway, he didn't listen. And he was out there, he thought, I don't hit the ball anyway. And he swung back and boom! He hit the ball. It went flying right into the car. Made a big dent in the side of his dad's car. He was astonished too. The dad came out, saw the dent. He was furious. He took the little boy up to his room, and he sat there, and he sat there. And he could smell dinner, and he sat there. The next thing you know, his dad came up and said, have you thought about your punishment? What do you think your punishment should be? And the little boy said, I think I should be grounded 2 weeks and have to pay for that dent out of my savings. And the father said, great punishment. But instead, I'm going to invite you to have dinner with us, and then let's go get ice cream. Whoever heard of that? That's what grace is. Grace is getting something you don't deserve with ice cream on top. And you know who gives us grace? God. God is the almighty giver of grace. This is, yeah, is that the ice cream picture? Isn't that great? Can you imagine that doing something bad and then getting ice cream? Unbelievable. Do you know what this is on the top of a pencil?
Eraser.
Eraser. And what does that do? Right, when we make a mistake. My daughter used to love the eraser. She would erase and erase and erase, and it would still leave a mark, and she'd wrinkle her paper. And then, do you know what this is?
A tape measure?
No, it's the new eraser. It's whiteout. When my daughter found whiteout, she thought, woo! You put it on, and it just takes away without erasing anything. It's the new eraser. Well, today I have something that I want to give you that I want you to remember when you go to school. You can choose one. They're erasers. And I want you to remember every time you make a mistake and you use an eraser that God is the almighty eraser. He's the big eraser of everything. We can't do anything that God won't erase for us. So every time you use this, think about grace. Will you do? Okay, pick one. Okay. This is a big decision up here. They're all little animals. That's a good one, Graham. That's a good one. You'd rather have that one? Okay, guys, thank you very much. And always remember when you use it, think about God and His saving grace. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. want to come closer, but you are so distant. Lately your thoughts are so far, and I want to show you all that you're missing. I'll meet you right where you are. And all love, I've always known you. And all love, you've always been mine. All love, I'm only asking you for your life. Say that you need me, I know what you're feeling. You cannot do this alone. I gave you my word and I gave you my life, so you'll never be on your own. And
good morning. Whoa, are we hot? Volume? Okay. All right. First of all, I know Judy wasn't talking about me, because if it would have been me, I would have hit the windshield of the car. Thank you, Judy, for the children's message. That was nice. I loved it. And thank you, everyone, for helping out with the message today. Anyway, we're going to be looking at grace today. But I have to ask a question. What makes Christianity different from all the other religions in the world? Years ago, that very same question was discussed at a conference. Some of the participants argued that Christianity is unique in teaching that God became man, but some objected, saying that other religions teach similar doctrines. But what about the resurrection, some argued? No, it's not about that. Other faiths believe that the dead rise again. The discussion became heated. Then, as normal, C.S. Lewis, a strong defender of Christianity, came in late and sat down. And just asked, what's the rumpus about? When he learned that it was a debate about the uniqueness of Christianity, he immediately commented, oh, that's easy. It's grace. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful day you've given to us, and we thank you that we can worship together as one, Lord, as brothers and sisters. And God, I just pray that our hearts and minds can be open to your word, and that we can grow closer to you, that we know that you love us and how much you've done for us because of your grace and your mercy for us. And we thank you, and I just pray now you just be with us. Help me to speak boldly for you, Lord, and just give us a peace, Lord, that know that you're in control and you love us. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So grace is the foundation of Christianity. By grace, the lost are found. By grace, children stand in confidence. This morning, I want to remind you of the sufficiency of God's grace in every part of your life. I want to first look at the definition. I'm going to turn to Mr. Webster. Webster describes it as an act of kindness, courtesy, or clemency. But I like what Joyce Meyer said. Grace is the power of God made available to meet all our needs. The power of God is made available to you. If you are struggling this morning with issues in life, God's power is made available because his grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12, 7-10 says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take it away. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I would most gladly boast of all more about my weakness, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So because of Christ, I am pleased in weakness, in insults, in catastrophes, in persecution, and in pressure. For when I am weak, I am strong. I love this verse because it reminds me that my weakness is a good thing. When I am too weak to do what needs to be done, then God's power is made perfect in my life, and I am forced to rely on him. This is why grace is so important. Today we're going to look at 5 parts of grace. And we're going to start off with God's grace is sufficient in supply. But to do that, I'm going to ask you some questions. How many gallons of water are in the ocean? Nobody know. Ah. The answer, 3.612 times 10 to the 20 gallons of seawater are in the ocean. Let's give you a second chance. How many stars are in the known universe? Nobody, boy, 76 trillion stars. That's 7 times 10 to the 22nd. So how many grains of sand in the world? 7 quadrillion, 500 quadrillion grains of sand. I don't know, guys. School started, what can I say? But even if these answers are incorrect, here's my point. God's grace is bigger than all these numbers. You could empty the ocean and empty the beaches of water and sand and pluck every star from the sky, and God's grace has only begun. I will tell you a story I heard. A large sum of money was given to a man named Roland Hill. He was to dispense it to this poor pastor, thinking that the amount was too much to send it all at one time. Hill forwarded just a portion along with a note and said simply, more to follow. In a few days, the man received another envelope containing the same amount of money with the same note, more to follow. At regular intervals, there came a third and a fourth, in fact, continued until all the money had been received. But they all came with the cheering words, more to follow. I think maybe Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, put it best when he says, when God forgives our sins, there's more forgiveness to follow. He justifies us in righteousness of Christ, but there's more to follow. He adopts us into his family, but there's more to follow. He prepares us for heaven, but there's more to follow. He gives us grace, but there's more to follow. He helps us in our old age, but there's more to follow. Even when we arrive in the world to come, there will still be more to follow. Paul writes to us in Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. He also raised up so that the coming ages he might displace his immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us through Jesus Christ. Second part, God's grace is sufficient for salvation. Paul telling Timothy in chapter 1, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. But I receive mercy because of this, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus demonstrated the utmost patience as an example who would believe in him for eternity. There was a person by the name of Nicky Cruz. He was a leader of one of the largest and toughest gangs in New York City. His satanic parents abused him brutally, so he grew up a hardened man. He was void of love and full of hate. I wanted to do to others what my mother did to me, Nikki says. I used to feel good when I hurt some people, but privately, he admitted, it didn't feel good. Privately, when I was alone, loneliness became like a seductive woman that crawled inside my chest and ate at me. I was there twisting and fighting. I felt so lost. Only two people saw the desperate condition of Nikki's heart. One was a psychiatrist. He told me about five times, there's a dark side in your life that nobody can penetrate. Nikki, you are walking straight to jail, the electric chair, and hell. There is no hope for you. The other was a famous pastor named David Wilkinson. He risked his life to tell Nikki there was hope. I heard his voice. God had the power to change my life. I started cursing at him aloud. I spit in his face and I hit him. I told him, I don't believe in what you say and you get out of here. Nikki never expected what he heard next from Wilkinson. Wilkinson replied, you could cut me up into 1,000 pieces and lay them in the street, but every piece will still love you. Nikki said it did damage, good form of damage, in my brain and in my heart. I began to question, and for 2 weeks, I could not sleep, I could not stop thinking about his love. I was choked up with pain and my eyes were fighting the tears after I was told about the crucifixion. Jesus died for me on the cross. And then I decided to go to one of his, Nikki decided to go to one of Wilkinson's rallies. And on that day, he gave his life to Christ. And so did most of his gang. The love of Nikki got, in return, a radically changed life. When I opened my eyes, Nikki says, I got a new heart. I have been born again. I am a child of God. God's grace is sufficient for salvation. Number three, God's grace is sufficient in suffering. Peter says, now the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little. Notice the fourth thing God says, God of all grace, he will personally do. God will restore. If your life is falling apart, God can restore it. If your marriage is falling apart, God can restore it. Some of you look at the mess you're in and wonder how you ever get back. I want you to know God restored lives in the midst of suffering. God will also establish. When I think of God establishing me, I immediately think of the house on the rock. No matter what comes against me, I can be established because of God's grace and his power. God will strengthen us. No matter what storm comes our way, you will be able to stand because of the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. God will support us through all the trials and temptations. God will give you the strength you need to overcome. And if necessary, Christ will be there to carry you through it. Just a side note, something I want you to know this before we continue. When you see the words suffer a little, they can be translated as a little while or a small extent. This is important because our focus is not on temporary. Our focus is on the eternal. And remember, God works in and for eternity. If you don't feel like God is answering your prayers, be patient. One day, all your suffering will be gone. Our rock, our foundation, is in the hope of heaven. Number four, God's grace is sufficient in sin. Grace is greater than all our sin. Paul says in Romans 5:20, where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more. You can't out-sin God's grace. You may have many sins as the sand on the beaches or stars in the sky or the gallons of water in the sea, but God's grace exceeds your sin. You see, by you not understanding, I have cheated my, but you saying, I do not understand, I have cheated on my husband, I have abused my wife and children, I have stolen, I have cursed God, I murdered. Listen, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. There is no sin that you cannot commit that God's grace cannot forgive. Number five, God's grace is sufficient for service. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, Paul says, and God is able to work every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. As James Hudson Taylor once wrote, it doesn't matter where he places me or how. That is rather for him to consider, than for me. For the easiest position, he must give grace, and in the most difficult, his grace is sufficient. So if God places me in a great perplexity, must he not give me much guidance? In position of great difficulty, much grace. In circumstances of great pressure and trial, much strength. As to work, mine will never so painfully, so responsibly, or so difficult, but the weight and strain are all gone. His resources are mine, for he is mine. We can find encouragement in grace that God exhibited to another noble man. His name is John Newton. Your life could not be any worse than John Newton's. He was a rough, despicable slave trader who later described himself as a wretch, who was lost and spiritually blind. But one day, the grace of God used a fierce storm to put fear into this wicked slave merchant. According to Newton's own testimony, that storm, along with reading of the book, The Imitation of Christ, led him to a genuine conversion and brought a dramatic change in his heart and his way of life. John Newton never ceased to marvel at God's grace, which had transformed him so completely, and to express that marvelous grace, Newton wrote that now famous hymn, Amazing Grace. Shortly before his death, at the age of 82, John Newton is quoted as proclaiming with a loud voice during a message he was giving, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things. One, that I'm a great sinner, and that Jesus Christ is a great Savior." Isn't it great that we serve a great God who is full of love, compassion, mercy, and grace? A God whose grace is too big, too powerful, or too audacious for us to wrap our minds around. But that's what makes grace so beautiful. As David would write in Psalm 103:6, God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered, and he is rich in love. In that grace and mercy and love, Dr. Martin Luther King could say with great confidence and boldness, "I am free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last." Amen. My challenge to you today is to take the love and grace that God has shown you to others who do not know you. And now, to him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, and power, and the authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.